Lime, duh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Hello. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Road Diaries, the last road diary, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host who had the most. Black, a.k.a. Dunsky, Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Wrestling. Clap, clap for myself, Donnie Wrestling. I'm out of time. A.K.A. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy.
I should have known better, dude.
I gotta tell you, you are one weird dude. Erase your
mind, fire. A.K.A. the modern day spoof and goof. Yeah.
I have been here for 12 years.
Coming at you, the Cleopatra, baby, baby, gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, gubba, wee.
Gubba, 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 wee. Gubba, gubba, yeah, gubba, this girl, she is mine.
Holy motherfucking sh**.
She's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction. With all of our spicy, spicy wrestling reactions. And whew, what a nice, nice week going into pro wrestling. Pro wrestling is firing up. It is getting spicy. Burn it down! And this is our episode. This is my last episode of the Road Diaries. I am excited. Next week, anyone who's asking, next week we will be back in studio next week of the return of the Nasty One, Nasty Newman, the return of, unfortunately, the Canadian Dream / my Canadian Nightmare, Anosh. We'll be back in full swing with a nice, long, long episode. I'm thinking next week, you know what I mean? I'm back. You guys know I've been traveling. And I apologize for the delay on this episode. I was traveling from Houston to Austin and working, and I'm excited to get back. I'm excited to get the podcast going. But I'm saying next week, I see it as kind of, I know we don't officially have seasons on this podcast, but I say next week kicks off the new season of Comedians of Wrestling podcast. So we're going to have all kinds of new, I'm going to be rolling out some new features to the podcast. Cash-ins are back starting next week. You leave us a voicemail, 316-530-2429, 316-530-2429. Blow my mind. Gabba,
gabba, wee. Gabba, wee. Gabba, gabba.
Cash-ins will be back. So you can leave a voicemail for us. We'll play it on the show. That'll be coming back next week. And also, I'll be announcing next week the new Patreon schedule and structure update going into the new wrestling season world. I don't know. The boom, the pro wrestling boom. NXT starting on September 18th. October 2nd. AEW kicking it off on TNT. Do they have a name for that show yet? I don't know. I know this. I don't remember. I think they trademarked Lightning or whatever. But yeah. So all that new Patreon structure, everything will be announced next week, September 11th. We're back in studio. Gonna be pumped. I'm fucking pumped for it. And right now on patreon.com/comedianswrestling, about the show, that's grassroots, you know it, you show it. The best way to support the show is to become a patron of this podcast. Right now you can listen to our All Out Fallout episode right after All Out. I called Nick Tulo.
Holy motherfucking shit.
And we got on the phone and we chopped it up about all things AEW All Out, which is a show that I thought was a great time. We'll talk about some of it here on the podcast today. But if you want to hear just straight All Out talk about it, covering every single match on the show, give us a couple dollars. You know, this show is grassroots. And yeah, cool. Hey, you know what? I'm going to call up someone to get them on the phone and we can chop it up about everything that's going on in the world of wrestling this week. All right.
What is?
Yo, Aaron Fader, you are live on the podcast. The First Lady, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. I'm excited to get back in the studio.
I can't wait.
I think the
next
people
week,
are,
September 11th.
September 11th. Yeah. It's, you know, just a coincidence. You know, we're bringing some happiness to a sad day.
Yes, exactly. Bringing some chuckles.
Absolutely. But yeah, there's a lot to talk about in pro wrestling. I couldn't do it alone. I figured I'd get you on the phone. But man,
I'll do my best.
Yeah. I can't say it enough. As my road diaries come to a close, I cannot say how much wrestling kept me company on this trip. On all my late night writing sessions. And just when I needed to unwind, I could turn to wrestling. Just always bring out.
Fucking crazy. Tell you, when I was on a road trip, I watched like NXT TakeOver on my iPad. I caught up on the shows that I was missing, and it really does feel good to know that like wherever you are, wrestling is always there.
Right. So I had another experience. So this podcast is coming out late this week. I'm sorry. You don't listen on Thursday when you go to the Hoagie Shop. You listen on Friday when you go to work this week.
This is a Friday special.
It's a Friday special. But there actually is a benefit to this because I was traveling. So I had to take a little time to catch up. But then I caught up and I couldn't record right away. So then I actually saw NXT this week already. And I watched NXT UK TakeOver. I watched the Walter-Tyler Bate match again. So I actually saw more wrestling than normally when we record. But it's fucking beautiful because I had a little bit of time. I couldn't record yet. And you're like, there's always more content. I can't get over this because we're going to get into the zone when we get back in the studio, when my schedule gets back to normal, where the quantity is just outrageous. But it is.
I know.
But I say this right now. I don't want less quantity. I don't want it.
No.
Because of times like this where you're it's infinite wrestling to watch. It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, like, if your dream is having a wrestling channel that's like CNN, I think that we are slowly getting there.
Well, that's my dream, is to have like the Sports Center, which they'll do it. I'll get no credit for it, and I'll get and won't hire me. But seem to be nowhere near it. I mean, they rather just have it seems like right now they'd rather just like have these matches that no one sees. Right, you're like, why don't you turn up for the people, for the new listeners who don't know what I'm saying? A couple weeks back, we were talking about how the network should be a Sports Center style thing. When you turn on the network, it should immediately have like two anchors being like chopping it up about like Walter Tyler Bate, you know?
Right.
So it's like these matches don't just go away. You know, they should, right? But instead, it's just kind of like.
Exactly. I think it's great.
How many casual fans are not seeing matches of that caliber that would enjoy it? I just, there has to be so many. And I have so many friends who I think would be into, who would not be into the current, who would like that? Who would really dig that stuff? I think they would be into the current product as well. I don't want to overstep it. But yeah, anyway, let's get into the stuff that happened this week. And I think...
Let's go.
I already did it. We did an all-out episode. I just wanted... So again, all things all-out. Check out that Patreon app. But...
Yep.
I want to say...
Patreon.com/comediansofwrestling.
That's right. That's right. That's where you can find it. Let's talk about Jericho. We just got to talk about Chris Jericho. This guy... So,
please.
I mean, this guy is un-fucking stoppable. The thing I said about Jericho, I forgot to talk about this last week, so I'm glad that the guy stays relevant every week of his life.
Oh, every day.
Jericho... And for the people, when we get back in studio, I promise a little bit of bubble will be officially on the soundboard. Do not worry. Yes. I don't have it this week because I'm still on the road. I'm right now in a Hyatt Place hotel in Austin, Texas. Okay.
Gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Beautiful mirrors. It's great.
Do they have bubbly there?
Yeah. They're beautiful. A little bit of the bubble. So, okay. Chris Jericho. So I was saying, he posted this picture that I put on the Facebook page. You know, Comedians Rex's Facebook page. Talk about wrestling at 4 in the morning.
4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Under his eye.
Yeah. Bless me the fruit. Don't spoil. I didn't finish Handmaid's yet. I didn't see the last step yet.
We can talk about that offline, but that's a problem.
Yeah, I know. I heard it's amazing. But, okay. Yeah. So, I wanted to, Jericho posted this picture to his Instagram where he jumps back and forth on his Instagram. If you don't follow him, if you don't follow him, follow Chris Jericho right now. And I come from a guy who I don't follow every wrestler on Instagram. My feed was it was only wrestlers at one point.
I know.
And some of them are just not good at Instagram. So it's like, you're like, I like them better off Instagram. Anyway, Jericho.
Yeah, I like the guys who actually write their own content, which I think Jericho does.
He jumps back and forth between like Fozzie Jericho and wrestler Jericho. And he just posted this one picture. It was like the day after he wrestled or something. And he's jumping off a speaker, you know? And you're like, the guy.
Right, yeah.
He's like 50 fucking years old. Another thing he does is he pays a lot of respect to like rock, to like real rockers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
100%.
Even guys who are younger than him, he'll be like, look at this guy, you know? And he's kind of humble in a way when it comes to the rock and roll aspect of his career, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing humble about him, but you know, as close to humble as he can
be. I mean, he's like on a cruise, you know? If you have your own cruise, I think that you've gone past humble.
Yeah, he's not humble. That's not what I mean. I just feel like he doesn't. It feels like he's not. I feel like he's not. He's not like threatened by the younger talents or whatever. Like he doesn't let the age get in the way. It doesn't make him feel bad. He's like, hey, this is like, he's like, I'm still in my fucking prime because I'm alive and I can walk and stuff, you know?
Yeah, totally. He can do more than walk.
Attitude about that. Anyway, my point is that Jericho's, I don't know him as a guy that well or whatever, but I feel like he's one of my fucking heroes. And he just continually, he's jumping off a speaker, he's rocking out. Here's what I love about Jericho. This is what my point is. The Rock's gimmick is I work hard, right? His gimmick is like, I work my ass off and like, when my body says no, I tell it yes and all that kind
of
shit.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But Jericho feels like he feels like he doesn't work a day in his life because he's doing what he loves. Right. Like he feels like every day is like is space camp for Jericho.
Right.
Like he never talks about dreams. Like, oh, I work hard. He doesn't. His gimmick is not I work hard. His gimmick is like is like every day is the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Because he's not posting like on the gram, you know, pictures of him at the gym at 3 a.m. or whatever.
Right. He's not like when you're sleeping,
rocking out in his van. Right. Yeah.
And it's like, it also leads into his gimmick where like, I'm also okay with the fact that he's like a little doughy because it's like, I get it. Cause he's not like a, he's not that whole like, what do you call that whole movement? Rock movement.
Inspirational guy?
The whole inspirational movement, right? The instant inspiration that like, I'm probably more, I think, I don't know where I'm at. I think I'm somewhere in the middle of like The Rock and Jericho.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment. Right? Somewhere between The Rock and Chris Jericho is Dan Black.
Oh, shit. I just mean like, whatever. I'll just lean into that.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between there and also somehow a lot lower. but so I'm just saying Chris Jericho, for the people who haven't seen this, and I don't know how he's created a meme, like it's huge of when he.
It happened so quickly. It went from, it just was a meme, like immediately.
Right. And when I saw that clip, the thing is, I wouldn't have thought that would catch on the way it did.
Right.
But you think about Chris Jericho as a talent, he's one of the best wrestlers of all time. There's just no question. Mm-hmm. His career is one of the best ever. Someone could probably make a great argument about why he's like number five, you know, and it would be believable.
I would buy that. Number five. Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't put him quite that high, but I'm just saying it's believable now.
Yeah. I'd hear it would be a compelling argument.
I immediately bought that little bit of bubbly shirt. I bought it fucking instantly.
Oh my God.
I bought it last night. I was like, I have to support this guy. Jericho's doing great work. You think about the amount of care. Let's put it in the perspective this way. what's his name? Yeah, these are huge men. I mean,
huge talent.
What's his name? Like, look at Sean Spears, like the perfect 10. He still has like the 10 on him. Even when he tried to change, you know, he still has the 10. So many of these wrestlers, they're doing the same thing. Think about the past like 3 years, how many versions of successful Jericho we've seen. Like, this guy can get anything over. It's he's amazing.
They're all like beloved. Yeah, like I liked his intro at All In?
Double or Nothing.
The first AEW, Double or Nothing. Yeah, yeah.
With where he came out iterations?
And was, like, they showed like the different graphics. Yeah, that was the best. And I was like, they're all great.
Yeah, I mean, they're all memorable. You might have one where you're like, hey, I wasn't that into it. But it's like, you remember like short hair suit Jericho. You remember that when he, and I heard him talk about it recently in an interview, and he was on his podcast, which if you catch the right episode of his podcast, they're great. He has.
Yeah, I listened to one with Joe Bob Briggs, and it was very, very, very good. Oh,
I got to check that out. I was listening to, what's his name? MJF. That's the last one I was listening to.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. The most Long Island gimmick of all time, MJF. But
The Burberry scarf. Forget about it.
Yeah. So, okay. So here's the thing I want to say about Jericho. Yeah, well, he was talking about, he was explaining the suit. What I was saying, the thing I liked is he had the short hair Jericho. He was explaining the suit gimmick. He was like, oh, like that. I was like, oh, I'm going to like speak lower and softer because I felt like everybody else was yelling, you know? And I was he really is such a fucking, he's such a pro at the biz. But the thing about Jericho I want to point out is that I really feel like he's been proving a point that I've been hammering home on this podcast a bunch, which is,
yes,
he's funny, but also a serious contender, you know, like he is a heavyweight. Yeah. And I feel like that is in my estimation, that is the zone that creates the top talents. Is if there's an element of funny, of character work to it, like that Rock zone, even the Stone Cold zone. Yeah. He did a lot of funny stuff. He had the bang,
right? A lot of funny stuff.
They have a clear character that is funny. But I feel like these wrestlers nowadays, they don't understand that that is still the key to cracking fake fighting. This is, it's theater.
Totally.
You know, and I feel like they're forgetting that it's theater. A lot of the guys.
Yeah.
Where the, and I don't blame them because there's one, they're nailing one key element of wrestling, which is, you know, we have like work rate and also you want to sell the fight.
Yeah.
You want to be believable. But that other element is how you become eternal in this business. And
Well, Cena has it, I think, too, right? He's another example of someone who like will make you laugh, but you don't think is just a goof, you know?
No, he has the hustle, loyalty, respect gimmick. And his gimmick is like, he's like your dad or whatever, right?
He's exactly like my dad.
He's specifically like your dad. Yeah.
Yeah. No, my dad looks like Kurt Angle.
Well, Kurt Angle's another guy whose gimmick could have been, well, he's the Olympic hero. But if you think about for a while, I think we're getting out of that zone now, but there was a time where every wrestler's gimmick was, I'm tough and I'm just good at the sport, you know?
Right.
And I think I think now, since it's gotten so saturated, wrestlers are really trying to stand out again. And Jericho is just the master. He's the master of it. He takes risks. He's always trying out a new catchphrase. It's great. It's like right now in WWE, it feels like we've got to this place where it's like the 24/7 title is the funny.
Right?
It's like that's funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I think you can pepper in a little bit of what they're doing over there with I'm a tough, awesome guy.
Right. I agree. Because right now the 24/7 title is just like nothing but goofs. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
there's no, you don't take anyone seriously. And I think that if, you know, it was a scenario where you were taking the people who were going after that, like, silly-ass belt seriously, it wouldn't be so silly anymore.
Right. Well, the guys who are killing it, the guys who are killing it are, like, they have this. There's, like, Kevin Owens, who has a goof element to him.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is trying to do, like, there are guys who can get away with doing nothing, which are... Like, Randy Orton is a guy whose his gimmick is just like, I kick your ass. I call you stupid and yeah, I kick your ass.
No humor.
Right? But he can do never that funny. Because he looks like Randy Orton. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But everyone else is, you can't be 3 feet shorter than Randy Orton and then think you're going to pull off the Randy Orton. And that's what, I feel like that's what we got for a long, from so many guys for a long time. And I don't know. Just Jericho is just, he's that sweet zone. I think more of these wrestlers need to take, their gimmick needs to be less of, I can beat you up. And we're seeing so much of it. So that's why we're seeing so much of it. And that's why we have a lot of great shit going on, I think.
I agree. I think, hopefully, and now Jericho, he's the AEW champion.
It's more gimmicks, is what I'm saying. I don't know why I've been avoiding the term. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I've been avoiding the word gimmick. Like, the gimmick. We need the gimmick. The word gimmicks are not dead. They're not dead. They're part of wrestling forever.
Yeah. It's like a key to success. Like you said, having a clear character, you know, whatever. Like, I think that that, like you said, is what makes people... unstoppable.
Well, they're doing it across the board. You can see almost every wrestler. At first, I was like, there's not as many examples of the tough guy wrestlers now. You know, all trying something.
They're trying.
And so I'm saying I like the effort, and Jericho is the model, I think. When he wins the AEW title and then he walks. So, and in a match that was a great, hard fought match. You know, and he has a believably tough, the Judas effect. I think I'm into it.
I love that one.
Yeah.
It's a cool ass name, too.
Yeah. And because his song he comes out to is Judas. That's his, it's his biggest hit, I believe, too. As a song, it has like, if you look at the song, has like a millions of listens. But anyway, so I'm saying, Jericho, then he's walking through the hallway, basically being like a comedy act. He's walking around like a proud Pomeranian, like whatever, being a complete asshole, just razzing everybody. It's this, what I'm saying is that we can say wrestling's changed, whatever, but if you think about it, when wrestling was like, I'm just a tough guy, was probably the mostly ruthless aggression. That's the time in wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who got over the most in that time, I believe, would be like Edge, whose gimmick was like, he's like a porn star, I believe.
Yeah,
like
a radio superstar. I know.
So you just got to try shit. These wrestlers need to try stuff. So I don't know if the WWE creative process is not that, but when you think about, you have John Moxley or Dean Ambrose, whatever you want to call him, who left. But when I see, when I look at WWE, I'm seeing a lot of guys doing a lot of cool shit. You know, I mean, I'm factoring in NXT.
Oh yeah, between the two, there's definitely cool shit happening.
Right.
It just doesn't always feel like as tight. You know what I mean?
Tough like for a guy like. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying a guy like examples of guys who are in the Jabron zone, okay? Gimmick is guys like Samoa Joe, who's doing great work on the mic. But it's tough if they're not going to have him just win and win titles, then he needs something more than just like everybody bow down to me, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah. Because he loses all the time. Right. Like, there's nothing behind it. You know what I mean? Like,
and McIntyre is the same way, where it's like, if your gimmick is, I'm just going to kick your ass, and then you're going to lose, then, well, the only way for that to work is to win.
Right. The only way it makes any sense at all.
Right.
Is if
but
you
then
actually win sometimes.
Guys like Daniel Bryan and The Fiend, like, they don't need to be in the title picture. They're always... They're because they're just killing it with character.
Yeah, Absolutely. I mean, The Fiend never has to be in a title picture to be like the most successful, kind of exciting, weird thing happening in the whole product, you know? Or someone like Velveteen Dream, who is like also very different and weird, never has to, you know, he could be in the NXT brand for forever. He doesn't need to have like the universal title to be appreciated, I think.
Yeah, right. I think it's like, we don't, like, 20, I think my point is like, I'm not saying wrestlers need to be funny, but they need, we need more risks in wrestling. And we don't need to, we don't, it doesn't, what they're doing in the 24/7 title, I was like, oh, I see, now they're just going to do the comedy all here. But you're like, well, look at Jericho doing comedy at the heavyweight level. And that's what The Rock did. It's what Austin did. Mm-hmm. It's what Mick Foley did. Yeah. They were heavyweights.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's finding that zone. And I think that Jericho is proving that that stuff is not dead at all. Anyway.
Yeah, it's definitely not dead. I mean, people are so hot for Jericho. Like, every time he comes back and he does something big, it's like, Jericho's the man. Like, Festival of Friendship. That was, like, the best thing anyone had ever seen. Huge.
Yeah.
So I think that time and time again, he's proven that, you know, he can make it work, and it's timeless.
So, like, I want to keep going into, I think Firefly Funhouse is the best thing in wrestling, in my mind.
All of wrestling?
I don't know. I'm so into it. When I hear the music, I sing along with it. I like. Yeah. I mean, I'm saying The Fiend, and I think it's the most exciting thing going in wrestling. Is like when I see when the music comes on, I'm singing it. I'm like, oh, what are they gonna do with this segment? It's the closest I feel to like, yeah. And this is a friendship that will never, ever end, right? That's what it is?
Yeah.
But then, the segments are produced so fucking well. I love him. His acting is, I already talked, I go on and on about Bray Wyatt's acting. I would cast Bray Wyatt in a movie.
For years. Yeah.
But with the Vince McMahon puppet and him just feeding him money, I was like, that is so good. He's like, oh, and then I think now he's leaning towards like, oh, he's mentioned. I think he's going. He wants the title. So we'll see. We'll see where he goes with that. But I mean, he was like apologizing to Finn. I just think I'm just so hooked on it. Mm-hmm. The two things. I think that in terms of Raw and SmackDown, the thing I'm the most excited for is Firefly Funhouse. And then also, all things Daniel Bryan, which everybody knows about my merchus of the eco-friendly heavyweight championship.
Yeah, your merchus. You know, I think that you get like merchus of the year 2019 for what you pulled off.
Well,
in the Cowl Awards, you're going to get that one.
So I talked about this on the Patreon episode, but I think it's worth talking about here that last week on the podcast, I said, I said, I've been watching this title for months since WrestleMania when it went on sale. I've been tracking it.
I know.
Always checking it. Every time I get
an
email.
I've been checking it too.
Yeah.
Because I was like worried for you. I was like, oh, there's a sale. What if Dan misses it and he doesn't check his email? And it was never included in the promotion.
It's never included ever. And I also read a couple articles about it online. Like, so the first crop of it sold out like instantly. And I almost pulled the trigger on it. I had my credit card in and I was like, this thing is $3.99. This is so insane.
Your finger was hovering over.
I remember I clicked X and then it was sold out. And then, you know, when you beat yourself up, you're like, fucking idiot. Credit, what are we doing? Like, but I'm like, but then I took a step back and was like, that was way too much money for this thing, you know?
Yeah. So, 100% too much money.
It's not even made of leather. Like, all the other titles are made of leather. This thing,
I gotta tell you, I've looked at it.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know what it's made out of. I can't wait to see it IRL, but I have, like, zoomed in on that picture because I was like, is Dan really going to spend $400 on this? And I'm always like, I don't know.
It looks
$400.
But Anyway, the answer was 100. The answer was yes, I did. So then the next day, after I set up the podcast, I waited for it to go down. It went on sale for 25% off, which is not a bargain at all. Okay.
Right.
It still costs $20 to ship and then has tax. So it was stupid. But
yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Here's what I say. You see people walking around with just the replica title all the time.
All the time.
You never seen the eco-friendly title.
I've never seen it. I've looked for pictures of people holding it online. I wanted to find some evidence of what this fucker looked like in real life, and I couldn't find it.
A stupid, reckless purchase. It's definitely the most reckless purchase of my life. It is such a reckless purchase that I that no one in their right mind is going to buy a burlap sack over a genuine leather title. Except
a burlap
me.
Sack. With stones on it and wood and stuff, like cedar wood.
It has like plastic turquoise on it. It's like made out of the Barbie like funhouse or whatever. Like it's
no, they're like sea stones. It's cedar wood and like stones from the sea.
But they're not really, right? They're plastic.
Remains to be seen. I don't know. I guess we'll see when
we'll
you get
find
it.
Out. I can't wait to get this
we
piece
should
of
do
shit.
An unboxing video.
But again, so part of what I'm saying is with this, I guess I should. Yeah, we'll do an unboxing. That's a good call. I won't open it when I get it. You know what day it's supposed
you
to arrive? September 11th. So the day we're back in studio.
Oh,
so I'll
beautiful,
bring it
beautiful.
Next week. I'll bring it. We'll do an unboxing in studio of the Daniel Bryan Heavyweight Championship title. Eco friendly.
People.
That's right. Yeah. Assuming that FedEx doesn't fuck it up or but so here's so okay, so but I just want to point out that like that Daniel Bryan title, the reason I love it so much is because it just it represents pageantry, goofonomics at the heavyweight level. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like it's not real sports. We don't have to be in like diehard sports mode all the time with it. We can wrestle hard and you can have those moments like Daniel Bryan. He wrestles his ass off, but still he was funny. He had a character. He had a sketch element to him. It's theater.
Yeah.
And it's like being theater. I don't think we necessarily need the 24/7 title to be like, that's where the comedy is. And then everyone else is wrestling 6-star matches or whatever, you know?
Right, because that comedy isn't even for everyone. Like,
right.
I don't really laugh at every 24/7 bit. It's like kind of samey. There's nothing really that funny about it all the time.
Well,
so
yeah. Like, it's funny when Daniel Bryan's walking down to the ring last week and then Roman Reigns hits him with a spear, like, mid-talking. That whole stuff's funny when he's slapping Rowan in the face a bunch. Like, that's what I mean. That's I count that as funny. Like, I count that as comedy.
I agree.
I'm not saying wrestling needs to be funny. It's more, my thing is that more emphasis on character work and like, if this is what my character is, if this is true, what else is true? How do I heighten that? How do I play into whatever my character's idea is? How do we build on that? Would this be funny or interesting or cool to do that? I tend to like funny. I'm not saying they need to be funny, but like Undertaker is dead, right? He's like, I'm an Undertaker. And they're like, what should we do? How do we explore this idea? Oh, why don't he start having casket matches? Why doesn't he start having an urn?
Right.
A guy, some hideous looking dude with an urn walk around with him. Why don't we have him dig holes, put people in holes? You know what I mean? Maybe he'll hang Austin up from his logo. Exploring the idea of the character. So that's like Chris Jericho. He's like, oh, what is my idea? You know, it's like, I'm like this pompous rock star, right? His gimmick is like, I'm a rock star, right? But also a wrestler.
Right.
And he does it in such a great way. Totally. I think, I'm just saying, we don't need our heavyweights to only be dead serious. That's who you get Roman Reigns. Where all Roman Reigns is about, that's it. And that's what it was
it's
for.
Not very compelling.
Right. So, I think Seth has fallen into that zone a little bit. But anyway, across the board, I think this is something that WWE is getting better about. They're making their characters more interesting. And we can see they're switching up the creative team. This seems to be something they're working on. I think we're seeing it. Cool. So I want to talk
it's
about Sasha
slowly.
Banks
yeah.
quick.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about her. Had a dreamer.
Well, I mark out for the song every time. I think she has one of the
love
best songs.
The song.
Love
I'm
the song.
Known to love that song.
Sasha Banks looks like $1 million. I mean,
the maximum amount of cash that one can look like.
Yeah, for the newer listeners, that's the maximum amount of cash. You can't. There's no $1,000,001. $1 million is the max.
No, never heard of it.
She looks fucking awesome. I love these new her new I'm not wrestling outfits.
Yeah,
those are great. Her just like her boss gear.
Yeah, she looks legit.
She also has like a great walk for her heel walk. She is a heel. Mm. She should always be a heel. We've said it for years. Everyone knows it. The boss, it's a heel
gimmick.
Everyone
knows it.
Right.
She can't go back. My least favorite thing ever was the Boston hug connection. I hated it so much because I can't stand Bayley. And Sasha needs to be a heel. She's when she's the most successful.
Right.
It's the best. It's the best.
So here's the thing, though. Sasha looks like $1 million, but she cuts a promo like a C+. It's so frustrating.
She cuts a promo like $50.
She has is like $50. It's like a when I say a C+, yeah, that makes no sense. I change in the rubric. Yeah, like $50. Mm-hmm. Like she gets on the mic and I'm like, fuck, I can tell. I can see that you're acting, that you're not as angry as I need you to be. And it's like, it's so frustrating because we know she walked out. Like everything you read about her is she has this bad attitude. Why can't she bring that to the ring?
Like, I know. I don't understand it. Like,
I feel like she's in a perfect CM Punk zone of come out and like be an asshole. You like, truthfully, leverage wise, she has a lot of leverage. They cannot let her go to AEW. She's a major loss for them.
Major loss, huge loss, equal to if not greater than Moxley going to AEW.
Right.
It would be crazy. But I agree. Like, I think that if she leaned into like her real story, she could deliver a way more believable performance and it would just seem like authentic and compelling, like you were talking about. But it's just like when she used to open her mouth on the mic before, like she might have been training while she was away, but
it feels like her face promos. It's that like really long pauses in between, like, and I don't. She just doesn't seem to get better. She doesn't get. Now the promos are fine. I think some people are like, I liked it. Here's the deal. I think your people are falling into my zone where everything else about Sasha is 10 out of 10. She looks awesome. Right. Her wrestling is great. She's like wailing people with chairs. You believe that you hurt people. It's just when she gets on the mic, you see like, oh, you're like scared. I'm seeing your fear. Like it's so frustrating.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think that like, I think when Ronda Rousey had the same thing where like she was a badass, but then when she like opened her mouth on the mic, like I bought everything that Ronda Rousey was like bringing to the table. Cause I was like, well, that's her. Like, I believe that Ronda Rousey actually does have,
that's her real name.
Microphone.
It's her real name. Yeah. Ronda Rousey. And she really could beat up all of these women at the same time. Like, so it's kind of like, her acting wasn't as good. It's like, but Sasha is a pro wrestler.
I know.
So it's kind of like, It's like wow, you know. And I, look, I'm hoping that she gets there. I'm hoping she gets there. But because it's the only reason I'm being so hard on her is because I think that she has the ability to be like one of the best ever. Her in ring,
absolutely.
Yeah, she just.
I just think she has the ability to be the best ever, and like she has to get there for the greater good of the women's division as a whole. Like,
she's really important to the women's division. I'll say, is every woman a heel now? So Bayley is now Bayley had her heel turn this week. And she which I didn't think was executed correctly. Yeah. She took the chair. She should have been. She telegraphed it. Bayley does like nothing right. I feel bad. I feel bad. But
I don't like Bayley. She's a 0 out of 10 in my opinion. I don't get it. I don't like it. It's not for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure what. I'm not, it's being harsh. I'm just not sure. Well, you know what? It's interesting because in the Facebook group, I had said something about Natty. How I was like, I'm not really like a Natty fan or whatever, you know? Right. And then I loved how so many people were Natty marks in the group.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have this vision of something. You're like, I guess I assume everybody doesn't like someone. And then you find out like, you're like, oh, so many. And then instantly makes me like them more, you know, because I know my opinion.
I know.
I'm open to the, if everyone else is liking something, it makes me want to give it a second chance. I don't enjoy not liking stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I know. It makes me feel bad. Like when I hear that like Bailey was a really nice person when like my friend Lauren Moran met her, I'm like, oh, I feel bad because I actively dislike her. But like, I don't know, that doesn't change my opinion.
No. Yeah, so but here's the deal with Bailey. So she gets the chair and Sasha's in the ring and she has the chair and then she looks at Becky and then Becky's sitting there in the what do you call that? The table? We would call that position like when you're waiting to get with the chair. We call that the table when you're just on your knees and your hands. she's doing the table, which is an awkward position to hold because you're like, why are you holding the table? You either lay down or you get up, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's funny, or like the turtle. I call it like the, you know, she's holding the turtle, which you know you're gonna get. It's you know, and then so you think Bailey, if she took it away from her, she would want to like talk some sense into Sasha. She'd be like, Sasha, what are you doing? The way to execute this was you'd go to Sasha and you go, Sasha, what are you doing? You take the chair away from her. You're like, you need to stop this. You got a bad attitude. Blah blah blah. And then boom, impulse hit Becky with the chair. Snap hit. So then you're like, it would be out of nowhere. But instead, she like stared down at her, and then you're like, why would she ever think about hitting Becky?
Right. And think about it for that long. I have no idea.
But I think the logic they did, and that cuts to the promo in the beginning of SmackDown, I think the logic is like, oh, well, she's such close friends with Sasha that she must, she should just be loyal to her and hit her. Like, just go along with her because of their history. But that's not really how friendship works, you know?
I'm not traditional, you know?
No, like, I have friends who, like, make bad decisions, and then I'm like, look, I don't agree with what they're doing at all, but, like, they're my friend. You know, like, OJ has friends who still back him up or whatever, but they're not like, I'm also going to start stabbing people. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Like, Robert Kardashian wasn't out, you know, doing more killings or mopping blood or anything like that.
Right, but he was like, I'm going to back my friend and I'm going to believe him because he's my friend. But he's like, I'm not going to murder for him because we're such close friends.
Right.
But anyway, the execution of that I thought was a little off, but Bailey going heel, very cool. She needs it. She needs something. But then
she does.
I don't know what I honestly don't think there's much you can do with Bailey. You know, I think everyone kind of agrees there. I mean, I think her just being a stooge for Sasha is probably the, but then it's crazy because she's the heavyweight champion, you know, or whatever.
I know. I forget. Sometimes I'm like, oh, Charlotte's not the champion. Who the hell is the champion over there? And then I'm like, oh, it's fucking Bailey. And
it's so silly. Yeah, Charlotte should just have the title for. What'd you say? Sorry.
I just said I agree. I don't know what you can do with Bailey.
Yeah, Charlotte should hold that title for like 4 years straight until anyone can step up to her level. You know?
Which no one can. Like, it's so unbelievable that that Bailey has the title and Charlotte has none.
Well,
like,
let's be real.
It doesn't compute.
Part of the reason that the women's division is not as interesting to everyone is because, and I think it goes across the board, is why it's less captivating in a way right now. Is first off, we lost Rousey, and secondly, they pass the title around like they don't care about the integrity of the division. So there's two titles, and there's not enough talent for two titles. I don't think anyone could argue against that. And if you count NXT, we have three women's championships.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It'd be, if one was like an IC title, that'd be different. I'd be open to talks about like a mid-card title. Right. but we have two show titles. So it's kind of this thing where, well, you don't have enough talent. So then, you know, you end up caring less. You're like, oh, Natty has a reign. They get passed around like participation trophies, you know?
Right, totally. Exactly.
It should be.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense because, like, it should go to the strongest competitor. And, like, right now on SmackDown, the only strong competitor is Charlotte, in my opinion. And Bayley holds the title. It's bogus.
Right. So you have the men's titles right now. They book those where it's like Kofi looks like the man now. He's beaten so many guys clean just with the what's it called, the Trouble in Paradise, like the kick to the face, and guys are going down, you know.
Right.
Now he has like Randy Orton, and you're like, shit, like, are they gonna let him beat Randy Orton? Which I think, no, I think we're gonna see a nice long Randy Orton reign going into SmackDown.
You think so? Yeah. I don't know. I was looking at Randy Orton the other day, and I was like, you know what? When Randy wins something, I'm always like, I'm fine with it. I'm not excited, but I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think they'll give it to Randy, because I think just going into SmackDown, they're like, he's just a bigger star, you know?
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, going into Fox, I'm sorry. Going into Fox on SmackDown. Yeah, and I think you can always lose to Randy Orton. It's just, there's nothing embarrassing about losing to the Viper. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he
looks like a million bucks right now also.
I think that it would be fair.
So anyway, so with the women's, as I say, Sasha, it's just, she cuts, she's just like the queen of almost. It's, she has like, it's so frustrating. She looks so fucking good. I mean, she is very cool. And then she gets on the mic and you're like, she's not cool. But
I know, it's the same. It's kind of just the same as before. Like, it would be cool if she came back with different hair, you know, a stronger in-ring ability.
She had different hair. She had the blue hair. You don't like the blue hair?
The blue hair. I love the blue hair.
Oh, you're saying you liked that?
Yes. I wish that she also came back with like a new style of speaking into the microphone, but it's the same.
Yeah.
I love the blue hair. It's great. It is great. She looks awesome, and I'm so glad she's back, because I think she's a formidable opponent. But I just think that, like you said, when she talks, it's $50, not $1 million.
It doesn't match.
It's different. It's not great.
So talking more about like bringing more character, AJ Styles had cut this great promo at the top of Raw where he was being funny. And he was saying, like, how do people get title shots around here? Would he just look at a title? And then he was like, don't look at my championship. Don't look at my championship. So right now, like, AJ...
That was funny.
I would say AJ Styles' gimmick right now is, like, the leader of the frat.
Right.
It's literally like a club. It's the club. Right? Like, what do you call it? He's like the head frat guy.
Yeah.
He's like a little bit of, like, Johnny from, Karate Kid. Cobra Kai, because in that he's kind of like a little bit of an anti-hero.
Oh, you're talking like OG Cobra Kai.
I'm talking about OG Cobra Kai.
Not talking
about the complexities of the modern day Cobra Kai YouTube premium series.
Yeah, yeah, we're going back to the 80s. No, I see where you're coming from.
By the way, as a recommendation, season one of Cobra Kai is available for free right now on YouTube. And that is the most...
You guys must watch.
For free, watch that. It is fucking good. It's a good time.
It's good. Dan recommended it to me. I watched the entire series. I didn't even know I had YouTube Premium, but I watched the whole series in like a day. And it is so good. And it's only half an hour an episode, so you can get through it pretty quick.
It's fun if you're looking for something. It's going to be tough because I think... The network is starting to get their shit together, and I think now they have a thing that's like the best intercontinental title shot matches. You see that? It's like
they have
like the 20 best IC matches and stuff. They're starting to put the stuff that I'm looking for on there.
I love that. Curated like collections of matches and stuff.
Yeah. So
I had to go poking around on there.
But AJ cut this great promo. He's like, don't look at my championship. And then he had a moment where, like, Strowman flips the table into his face and he gets hit like the frat guy who gets punched in the face by the, like, you know, like when Peter Parker punches the bully in the face for the first time. That was great. But he had an awesome moment. He was like, shut up, Michael Cole. It was great.
Yeah, I heard that.
AJ is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Part of he's one of your guys.
He's one of my guys. You know what we're talking about, one of my guys.
He's one of your guys.
Yeah. You know what we talk about, the one of my guys argument? I was listening to these two guys argue about something, and you could tell they weren't going to agree. And it just reminded me, I was like, man, if you guys just knew the one of my guys argument, you're like, it's the same thing as like Fast and the Furious. I got no problem with what they're doing. It's just not one of my guys. You know what I mean?
It's not one of your guys.
Sometimes it's not one of your guys.
Star Wars is like one of your guys.
That's right. There's tons of wrestlers where I'm like Finn. So many people love Finn. They're hot for Finn. He's just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. He's just not one of my guys. But he's doing everything right.
I think the one of my guys thing is like, everyone has a their guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, or multiple guys where whatever they do, it just is.
AJ can do like no wrong by me at this point. But part of what's interesting about that is part of what I love about AJ is I respect his journey so much. I thought during the Attitude Era, he was like the TNA guy. They were like, this is our guy. And I thought he sucked so bad.
A lot of people did.
Yeah. And then it's amazing how he, you know, I just love his journey. Came into WWE at like 40 years old. I'll never, and he came in as Cena level good, and I just I'll never not respect that. Not to mention I think he's really good on the mic. He sometimes fucks up like Biden style. He definitely has a little Biden.
Yeah,
in him.
He's like Uncle AJ. Like, he fucks up sometimes, but the fact that when he fucks up, he's got like kind of a southern accent, it doesn't even like bump me that much.
Yeah, and also sometimes he tells jokes and they fall really flat, but at least he's telling a joke. You know what I mean? Like, at least he's trying something. That's kind of what I'm saying. It's like so many guys like Drew McIntyre, you could always just be like, I'm the best. Joe cuts a great, great promo. Joe is one of the best guys on the mic. But the difference between going like I'm the best and talking about saving the planet like Daniel Bryan, getting that gimmick over, that's a night and day level of complexity that I'll always respect.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, so I mean, we're coming off All Out. And I'm coming off all out. AEW in full swing. By the way, I would code red. If you don't want to buy All Out, steal it. Watch Young Bucks versus Lucha Bros ladder match.
That was our favorite too. I liked that match, and Mike watched that match with me. And at the end of the program, he said that was the match he liked the best.
Yeah.
So I think it's universal.
I would code red that match. I also want to say, this is something I said in the Patreon app. Go check it out. Couple bucks. Come on. Couple young bucks. Yeah, a couple young bucks. Go support the show before I have to go and forget it. All right. Anyway, it's going to derail me too much.
The show. We have movies to see. Titles to purchase.
Yeah, I got by the way, thank you everyone for buying me the eco-friendly thing. Honestly, if I supported this show and I knew the host is buying shit like that, I'd be like, I gotta support this guy. This guy's a fucking maniac.
I know. I support it because you're doing it, so we don't have to.
So yeah, and trust me, you don't have to. You don't really have to.
We'll see, though. It could be awesome. I don't know. I can't wait to see it.
But I love it. I actually want it to be shittier. Like, I want to get more ripped off. I want it to fall. I want to like take it out of the box and then like I get hit in the face by a piece of turquoise.
Oh, it went in my eye. Oh no.
I gotta
you're preparing yourself for the worst, so it can't be that bad.
That was one of my favorite moments in wrestling history is when he threw the title in the trash and he took out a burlap. This is the new title. So
man,
funny.
Man, that was unexpected. That was so very unexpected. So funny.
Okay, so I'm saying we got All Out going on. And
yep.
So I watched NXT. I was a little behind and I watched NXT UK takeover, and I saw Walter versus Tyler Bate. Did you see this match?
I did not see this match. I'm familiar with both competitors, but I did not watch it.
So here's the interesting thing. I'm like, WWE is, I think this was on the same night as All Out, right? Or maybe the
it
next
was.
Day?
It was like earlier in the day. Right. Yeah.
And they're really, WWE's really counter programming the shit out of AEW. And
oh my God, I know. Someone who watched both, like, if you watched both pay per views back to back, I think it was 12 hours straight of wrestling.
Right.
They're tiring you out before All Out.
This match was really sick. Fantastic. But I'll say the all star of this match is the UK. I mean, this crowd is so fucking nuts. I love the British with the chanting.
They're like hooligans.
They're hooligans. They are relentless. It is so fun. I mean, and I really believe the UK audience brings out the best in these wrestlers.
Oh, shout out UK audience.
They don't stop. They're chanting. You can't, if you're in the ring, you'd be like, I can't let these people down. They're going crazy.
Right. Totally. It's like a mob mentality. It's just like at like football matches. Like, it is relentless.
Yeah. But it's crazy. Tyler Bate, the difference in style. Tyler Bate, by the way, is my goal body. I just want to say that now because I think first off, gorgeous guy. I mean,
beautiful boy.
If I had to bring the gay fair back, that guy's a gorgeous dude. Is he a handsome guy? You agree or disagree? Sometimes I tend to be, since I'm not actually attracted to men. I'm a heterosexual guy. I tend to be into the guys who I want to look like more than women want to sleep with.
Yeah, well, you know me. I love guys. I love hot dudes, and I like all types. But yeah, he looks great.
He's more of like a classic blonde stud. But yeah, anyway, the thing about him is he's short, and I'm short.
I like little guys. Fine with that. I don't care. I like short guys. I like a compact body. It's great.
You like a nice compact body. That's very specific. You put that on your eHarmony profile.
Yeah.
I want my man to fold up into a pocket.
Yeah, I would love that. That'd be so cute. No, I like Michael Fassbender is like a little guy, but like I'm like wickedly attracted to him. Oh. So like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a little guy. I didn't know that. He always seemed like a big guy to me.
I don't think so. I think he's a little guy. He's like I said, compact.
Right. But, like Tyler Bate is, I think he's probably close to my height. So I was like, and I could see his body. And I was like, I think if I worked out for 3 years and ate a lot better, I'm like, I think I might be able to look like that. So I try to like be like, here's a bod that I might be able to attain. I mean, I'm sure it's crazy. This guy's like ripped. I'm talking about years of kicking it up.
Yeah. You'd have to do a whole lifestyle from even where you are now. You'd have to do a lifestyle turnaround, I think.
Yeah. I think I'd still have to turn around. Even though I'm very disciplined, I'd have to just turn it around. An intervention on someone who's healthy.
You'd have to go a little further there.
Well, he's like a real athlete. But anyway, this guy, the style difference between him and Walter, like Walter's huge and he's small.
He's a giant,
but Tyler's made strong.
In person.
So they just had it was such a unique dynamic between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Like Tyler was picking up Walter and it was crazy. He had him in like a reverse fireman's carry, you know, like where Walter's back is on his shoulders and he flipped him from there. It was nuts. And you could see Walter probably weighs, he looks like he weighs close to 400 pounds.
He's giant. Yeah, he's like a big dude, and he's tall as fuck. So that's wild.
I think Walter's also in better shape. I think he's getting in better shape.
Gotcha.
So good. Yeah, but anyway, that match was sick. Yeah, so I'm just so much good wrestling going on. Check that match out. If I had to, some people said that was the match of the weekend, the Tyler Bate match.
Oh, interesting. I have to check it out.
Yeah.
I have not given NXT UK the time of day.
Yeah. I think I just have to give up on.
Part of it has to do with like when it's on. You know, it's like I can't catch it, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
Right. I think I have to just give up on New Japan. I mean, I don't know how I'm gonna. I mean, everyone knows I'm a subscriber to New Japan. I pay them.
Yeah.
But I mean, how am I gonna with AEW, NXT, and NXT UK? Which every time I watch, I'm like, fuck, I gotta keep watching this. How am I gonna do it? How am I gonna do all this?
I know.
No, but I gotta watch Wrestle Kingdom, of course. That's gonna be Okada versus Ibushi. So, I mean, wrestling is so sick right now.
Saturated. I know. Well, this is what you wanted. You have to keep New Japan, and you have to start watching UK more.
Well, if I pay for it, it means I'm a fan, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like, you're paying for it. Like, if you... you know, you're at least, even if you aren't watching it as much, you're still supporting the NJPW like machine.
Right.
So I think that qualifies you as a fan.
Oh shit. I didn't even talk about Jericho losing the title.
Oh, I thought that, you know what, at the start of this conversation, I was like, oh, this is going to go to Jericho.
I got derailed.
The title.
I got derailed. So Jericho,
I have questions.
So I think he really lost it, right?
I think he did too.
Yeah, I think from everything I put together, I think what happened was they switched his bags. Sounds like, by the way, I also went off an airplane right to a Longhorn on this
really?
Trip that I've been on now. Yeah, went right when I got to Rochester, New York. I was man hungry. I went there. It was pretty good, I gotta say. I didn't even know what it was. You know what a Longhorn?
I've never been there.
It's kind of like an Outback, you know.
I've been to an Outback.
It's
but
like one of these places where you're like, I get a sweet potato and then they put butter and brown sugar on it. And you're like, what are you doing? Mm. What are you doing? This a sweet potato is like the most delicious food on its own.
Wild.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I think what happened was Jericho. What? Longhorn?
You're sponsored by Longhorn.
Honestly, we'll take him. But I think what happened was Jericho like got off the plane. He was fucking starving, and then like they take care of his bags. They took the wrong bag, and then somebody.
I agree.
And then it sounds like
that's
somebody dumped it or turned the title in.
I think someone. That's what my question is. So the bags got switched up. It got lost.
Right.
Did someone else end up with the title, and did they return it through like the proper channels, or did they really dump it? Because that was something I read, but I was like, that's insane.
So I read two things. I saw that's why I was confused. I saw somebody say it got dumped and they found it. And then I also saw that it was, that it got turned into the police.
I think
the whole thing felt so sloppy that
police.
I was like, there's no way this is kayfabe.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what the real story is. I don't know the exact chain of events. I'd love someone to, like, give me a briefing on it, but I really don't. I don't know. And someone like, dump it in the streets or something? Is that true?
I don't know.
I have no clue.
But it's great. You see Jericho struggles to say palatial? You know, all of his promos, he wants to talk about how big his house is. He always wants to say palatial estate, but he struggles. I wonder if it's tough for the Canadian accent to say palatial.
I was going to say, it could be Canadian. It could be a Canadian thing.
But anyway, like, he lost his title. I'm like, this is so fucking good. I was like, this is such great kayfabe. The title's missing. I got like so many texts
That's
from people.
I was
like, oh, it's like the cow title. And I was like,
right.
You know, and I'm like, this is awesome. And then I was so bummed that it was like, I was like, wow, AEW, they're fucking brilliant over there. And then I was like, oh, it's a bummer. It was a shoot. You know?
I know. That's what I couldn't like suss out at first. I was like, is this for real or is this like a really big goof that like I did not see coming?
Yeah.
That like very unexpected. But I think it was like a legit like actual mix up.
Right. One thing I want to say
and
is
also like Jericho just being like lazy without like leaving the title, not kicking it or anything like that.
He goes to do rock show. He's such a cool guy. I mean, I love Jericho. I don't know if he's a cool guy if I sat and talked with him. He'd be a guy I'd be worried about hanging with. You know what I mean? I like...
Interesting.
I mean, I'm worried about hanging with any of these guys because I'm like, oh, shit, I don't want them to be... But anyway, most wrestlers I meet end up being super cool. But so... I want to give my props to Hangman Page quick. I'm not a big fan.
I am not a fan.
I would say I'm not a fan at all. But I think
he doesn't do it for me.
I'm very harsh on the guy on the podcast. And one thing I say is that I know I'm not in better shape than Hangman Page, but it shouldn't even be a question. You know what I'm saying?
I should be embarrassed to even say that.
You know?
Yeah. That's like, it's like if you said that about like Seth Rollins or like Braun Strowman,
right?
It would be like, well, no shit.
It'd be
but
ridiculous.
I hear where you're coming from.
Strowman is in sick shape, by the way.
He's always getting better. You know, he eats like 12,000 calories a day or something like that.
I don't know. He's so jacked. For a guy his size to look as good as he does, that is so difficult. You have to eat so much food and work so hard.
I know.
He really needs to change his gear. I'm jumping around, but he needs to change his gear bad, I think. I feel like he's still rocking the Fee Fi Fo Fum. And that's not necessarily the zone he's in right now. But I'm not sure, what do you wear when you're that big?
I mean, he looks great in his gear. I like him from the waist down, looks cool. And when he's not wearing a shirt, looks cool.
He looks good without a shirt, which has got to be almost impossible for a guy that size.
He looks great without a shirt on. He's like never wearing a shirt. It's weird to see him with one on.
I'm just not sure. I think he has to rock pants, obviously. I'm not crazy about his he had the patchwork pants, which is like, oh, these are the kind of the like, right? Like Jack and the Beanstalk pants, I want to call them.
Yeah. I mean, it's never like there's no variation on his gear that I can think of.
Right.
It's the same.
I don't know.
Every time.
Anyway, back to Hangman Page for a sec. I thought he wrestled a great match. Yeah. I want to give him credit there. I love that he entered on a horse.
That was cool. I love animals. I love to see it.
Yeah,
that was cool.
I will say this. I said this on the Patreon app. Running on a horse is maybe the coolest thing you can ever do. Like a fast horse. Mm-hmm. A slow horse is like little girl's birthday party.
Yeah, it's like a pony ride. It's a pony ride.
It's a pony ride. So I would say...
Totally.
I understand why you can't get that speed. I still appreciate your roar traps. One thing about Hangman Page, he has very cool gear, I think. I'm not crazy about the...
You like it?
I like his... Not his vest. I don't like the vest. Doesn't look good on him. His trunks, I think, are nice. Mm-hmm. I think he has nice trunks.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
The Hangman design on his butt is a very nice design. It's kind of like the Lucasfilms logo. You know? Like what I say is like overly ornate, you know? I like that.
The more ornate, the better.
That being said, Hangman is reeks of KKK to me. I still don't like that thing.
I mean, I think you've said before, it's a little confusing. Like, he's not a hangman. Like, he doesn't appear to be one. And the hanging thing is bad. And then being this like white blonde cowboy man, it's a little lynchy. Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, it's just confusing because you're like, you're just the hangman because It sounds cool, but then there's no real cowboy element. Look, that all, I'm trying to be positive towards him. I've broken down a bunch. I thought that he wrestled a great match. I think him losing clean was great. It's a win-win for him because they've established him as their, he's their like true, you know, he's their true guy. He's never touched WWE, and now he's a heavyweight guy, and he's theirs. So I think it's just smart, and the fact that they didn't give him the title was good. So I don't know.
I agree. He just doesn't do it for me. Like his like promo videos where he had like the eye and was like ripping the stitches out. It made me laugh.
His promos are they're uncomfortable. They're
yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, his are uncomfortable because it's like it's his acting is so bad that it's and she's trying to be so serious. It's they're you know, way it worse than what laugh. Sasha's doing.
Oh, way worse. Way, way worse.
Yeah.
Because it was a guy. I don't know. It made me crack up laughing because I hadn't seen that before. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But anyway, for all things All Out, check out the Patreon. But, I mean, so the last two things I want to cover is we have the King of the Ring finals. Is pretty much, not the finals. The semifinals are laid out.
Yep.
I like this triple threat thing, but man,
I've been going through the brackets.
Does anyone have a non-busted bracket?
Literally no one. No one in the entire pool of people who did a cow King of the Ring bracket picked Chad Gable over Andrade. And obviously no one called a draw between Samoa Joe and Ricochet. So everyone's bracket busted last week. But except for Tony Schade, he was correct up until this week. So he made it pretty far, but we all fucked it up after that.
Wow. All right. So he okay. So only
two people in our whole group picked someone who's still in the competition, and two people picked Baron Corbin to win the whole thing.
Wow.
So they could still be right, but Jeff and Joe, the last two guys who
Vince
have someone
loves
in the competition,
Baron
we'll
Corbin.
See. I don't love Baron
no,
Corbin.
No, Vince loves him.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I know. It's frustrating.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
I mean, I think the King of the Ring.
Well, that's what women like, right? Like,
yeah, that's what,
he's what
Vince said, right?
Evidently.
By the way, you could see Baron Corbin's in a lot better shape. Okay, but so King of the Ring looks like we're going to have a winner who's going to be either Samoa Joe, Ricochet, Baron Corbin.
Chad Gable.
Or Elias, right?
Elias.
I think Elias is a cool one to win.
Who do you have to win now that
I had
we're
Kevin
down
Owens.
To this round?
I originally had Kevin Owens, but instead he went on. I think he went on vacation
first
instead.
First round. Yeah, no shit. Well, who do you have to win now where we are now?
Oh, I think they give it to. Who's the last person to win King of the Ring? Like, do they care? Like, it used to matter. Like, when Booker T won, it would be like, it was like, oh shit, he won. And then, like, he called himself the king for a long time. I think Wade Barrett won, right? I think they use it as just kind of, I don't know. I don't think they're going to give it to Joe.
It's like the Andre the Giant Memorial Challenge.
Yeah, I think they might give it to, like, Gable or something, to be honest.
Gable, really?
Maybe Elias. Maybe Elias, because then he can like wear the crown and be like King Elias. Nah, he doesn't need it. It's distracting from his gimmick.
Yeah, agree.
Probably
like
Corbin. I think Corbin's gonna win.
Samoa Joe. I hope not. I'd like to see Samoa Joe win.
Corbin will get the most mileage out of it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that King Corbin, it's just more. It's like he retired Angle. Now he's the King of the Ring. It's like, it's so annoying. He keeps winning.
No, I know. It's so effective. Yeah. It's so effectively annoying. I can't stand him.
All right. Last thing I want to talk about. I want to make sure we have
Let's go.
I want to talk about how much I don't like the direction of Aleister Black right now. I find it very frustrating.
Oh, interesting.
So Aleister Black, who I think to be one of the best wrestlers on the WWE, one of the best wrestlers right now, and definitely one of the most interesting in terms of he has this cool, let's just call it he has a cool, veneer, is a cool skin to what he's doing.
Definitely.
No one really knows what it is exactly. And he keeps just like sitting on this background. And by the way, the background looks like shit. It has like wrinkles in it. It doesn't look good.
It's like the background you get like your like second grade class photo taken in front of.
Yeah, but the ones in second grade didn't have wrinkles on it. They were actually better. You know?
Maybe they didn't have a steamer.
Yeah, they don't have a steamer. Like, I don't know. So I'm like, I don't like the way they look. And, his whole thing is like, oh, no one has the balls to fight me. And it's like, is that what you are? Like, you're like, you literally raise from the floor. Like,
I know.
And your whole thing is you're just looking for people. People don't want to wrestle you. I'm like, if I was another, let's just think about it in kayfabe world version. I was another wrestler, I'd be confused. I'd be like, it seems like you think we're too scared to fight you, but actually we just don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I mean? Like,
right. We don't know what this means. And like, you're coming out of the ground. Like, are you supernatural or?
I don't even care if he's not supernatural, is the gimmick people are too scared to fight him? Because he's like, who's going to pick a fight with me? It's like, well, you sit. What do you mean? Like, if you want to pick a fight, then you go like into a bar and you start bumping into people, right?
Right.
If you sit
in a black
space void, who's gonna fight? Who's gonna fight you? I just don't know what he's talking about.
And I just think he's so much more complex of like a person and a wrestler than that. And it's really just like this like surface thing, kind of like the Drew McIntyre, like, who wants to fight me? I can beat you. Like, there's not much there.
Right. So I'm just like, I hope they get the Aleister Black thing together, because it's just like, he's just looking for, he's looking for fights in a black room.
I know.
That's what it is.
And I really like him too. I want him to like do something that's like interesting consistently every week, but it's kind of like, we get the point, you know, there's not, it's not like leveling up or anything like that.
Clash of, oh, by the way, I just want to think about this. What woman is not a heel? What female wrestler is not a heel? It's
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, Ember Moon,
Natalia. Ember Moon, Becky Lynch, Nikki Cross.
No, because Nikki Cross is with Alexis.
Alexa, I know, but Bliss. She's so sweet.
But she's technically a heel, right?
I guess.
Charlotte's heel. Lacey Evans is heel.
Oscar and Kairi Sane.
Yeah. All right. There's more than I thought. Then there's also like Mandy and Sonya Deville. They're heels, right?
Yeah, they are.
I don't know. Anyway, it feels really uneven.
You're totally right. I think it's hard because like, I don't think like, I think Becky's a good example of a face who's like a little complicated, but other than her, because she came into that naturally, there's no other like female competitors. Like, their version of a face is like Bailey.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to kind of get someone in that zone and have it be compelling and like a cool story. And I think that's why Becky works. But you're right. There is like, it's disproportionate.
Cool. And we didn't talk much about NXT, but just because now NXT, next week we'll talk about how we're going to cover NXT. But NXT, I saw it this week. Since this came out late, I'll do a little bonus NXT coverage for you guys.
Bonus.
That's right.
Hell
So I'm very excited for Rhea Ripley, Shayna Baszler. I think that's very cool. They're both very big.
They're both
So scary. At the Royal Rumble, I had very close seats. I don't know if you know about that. But Royal Rumble last year, Rhea Ripley was in the Women's Royal Rumble, and she walked right by me, and she's huge.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, to scale, she's large.
She's large. And her and Shayna Baszler are about the same height, so Shayna Baszler must be pretty big as well.
Wow.
I think that's a really cool... I'm excited to see how they stylistically match up. I think that's very excited going...
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. And they're both like I believe Rhea Ripley to be a worthy opponent of Shayna Baszler, who's like a terrifying person in general, man or woman. And I think that they're both like pretty fucking tough. So I'm excited to see how that goes.
Well, it's very cool that the UK wrestlers can always just like pop in.
Yeah, that's dope.
I think that's very cool. I don't know if she's going to be full-time on NXT now, but I think that's very cool. I loved Bianca Belair, she's just so fun. She entered...
I love her. She's great.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen her wrestle a bunch of times, but I just was... I saw so much wrestling this week that just her entrance coming in, I was like, oh, this is very fun. She's very... I love all of her movements. I'm just talking about her entrance specifically, which I just wanted to give her some props for. Just a really good footwork in that. And, she's very good. I'm loving...
No, she's great. I think she's Bianca Belair is fantastic. I think she's cool as hell. I like everything about her. I like the way she talks. I think it's great.
She's getting more and more... comfortable in there.
Totally.
Interesting. Loving Velveteen Dream wrestled the finest, Kona Reeves, who
people
listening to this podcast, our Facebook group is obsessed with Kona Reeves he sucks.
Fine.
I'm not a fan of his. I'll veer off from the Facebook group. His gimmick is he's the finest. I mean, he just wears Oakleys. I don't know.
Right.
His gimmick should be like, I moved to Hollywood to be a star. You know?
Right.
But it didn't work out.
I love that gimmick. Totally. The Oakleys are very fitting.
Yeah. And but Velveteen Dream, obviously great. Roddy Strong lit his couch on fire. I mean, that's my kind of shit.
Wait, I didn't watch it. Can you tell me?
Roddy Strong lit Velveteen Dream's couch on fire. His velvet couch.
I love it.
That was perfect. What a way to biggest fuck you ever. Like, yo, fuck your couch. Chappelle style.
That's amazing, great.
Yeah, and it was great. It was a great show. I'm into it. Ayesha Rai is doing some very cool work.
She's badass.
NXT is very excited. They're in a great spot going on to USA. They're doing a real weird thing where the first 2 weeks before their head-to-head with AEW, they're doing the first hour on USA and the second hour on the network.
Is that so they can just keep some USA programming going for a couple more weeks, like in that 9 to 10 slot?
I have no idea, but I find it weird. Yeah,
I don't know. Or maybe it's to drive up subscriptions, like before it's all just available on USA.
I think that's why. Truthfully, I have a feeling that's why they're like showing people the value of the network for two weeks. I don't know.
I can see that.
Anyway, that is it, everyone. Anyway. We covered a lot. I would say this was a major week in wrestling. If you're feeling overwhelmed, make sure check out the matches to check out. Find that Young Bucks Lucha Bros ladder match. That's worth your time.
That's worth your time no matter who you are. I think you could show it to people and they would appreciate it. And
anyone can watch that thing. Anyone.
And check out
Tyler Bate versus Walter for the NXT UK heavyweight championship title or whatever it is. I don't know if they have a weight class on
it. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
I don't think any guy's as heavy as Walter. Check that match out. And then if you're looking for one more, I say just watch Jericho. Watch Jericho Hangman Page. I really dug that match a lot. It had a kind of like old school good vibe to it. And Jericho is very funny in the match. So
yeah, it was great. It was super entertaining. I would say I'd recommend that to anyone as well.
Those three matches, and I said I'm gonna try to recommend matches more often. People respond well to when I do a match of the week style things, and I think with more wrestling coming out, I think that's gonna be very helpful.
Especially for people to like navigate the volume of wrestling that we're about to have to watch. It's like, you know, here's what you must see if you don't have, you know, the 24 hours this week to just sit and watch all of it.
Right. All right. Well, hey, Aaron, thanks for doing it. Thanks for coming on the Road Diaries.
No problem.
We'll see you.
Happy to be a phone a friend.
Back.
Happy to be on the Road Diaries.
That's right. Be back in studio next week, which what I'm calling the new season of the Comedians Wrestling starts next week.
Oh,
I don't know what season
that.
It would be, but I would say the new season starts next week. Be in studio.
6 years in or whatever, season two.
I'll be announcing new changes to the Patreon structure, going into all these changes that are going on in pro wrestling. What's going to happen there?
Yep.
We'll be back with Nasty Newman. We'll be in studio. Unfortunately, Anosh will be back. Cash ins are back on. So leave us a voicemail 316-530-2429. 316-530-2429. Leave us voicemails. I'll be back in the mix. We'll be playing your cash ins. And check out if you want to hear the all out Patreon episode. You can listen to that right now. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Check that out. And stay safe. If you're in the hurricane zone, I don't know.
Yes, please.
I don't know if it's not done yet, right?
I think it's still going. I think it's moving. It's like becoming. Yeah, it's on the move.
Well, I hope all the jabroniacs are staying safe, taking the proper precautions. And if you're without power and you're listening to us and we're keeping you company by a candlelight, then just wait to watch those matches because you can't watch them yet. Save your battery life.
Don't wait for you.
Save your battery life for the only for this podcast. And
cool.
Aaron, thank you.
Dan.
And everybody, keep watching wrestling.
Problem.
Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.